Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we are talking about Elon Musk and Twitter. We also have updated reporting on a possible factory for Tesla in Mexico, news on Giga Berlin, Shanghai, updated analyst notes from Oppenheimer and Deutsche Bank, and more. Interesting day for Tesla stock today, finishing down 0.25% to $149.87, while the Nasdaq was down 1.5% on the day. So a decent overperformance after pretty significantly underperforming earlier in the day. It was also another high volume day for Tesla today, about 140 million shares traded, pretty similar to Friday's volume. So obviously a lot going on right now. I'll let people make their own decisions for what's driving the stock and what direction. But of course, one of the most noteworthy items from this weekend, another Twitter poll from Elon Musk where he asked, should I step down as head of Twitter? I will abide by the results of this poll. About 17.5 million votes, 57.5% coming in yes, and that poll is now closed. As I am recording, of course, subject to change at any moment, but Elon has yet to tweet since the closure of that poll. He did have a couple of follow-up tweets on that last night before the closure. A little bit of back and forth with Lex Fridman, who had volunteered for the role, and he had also then said, no one wants the job who can actually keep Twitter alive. There is no successor. So for the moment, we don't know what the course of action will be. I think there's a pretty easy out for Elon in either direction of this poll. If the result was yes, as it was, Elon can say, okay, working to find a replacement, which he had already said in court was his eventual intention, though probably not this soon. If the result was no, he could have said, okay, I'll keep doing the job until we find a good replacement. So we'll see on this. This is very reminiscent of the leadership scuffles at PayPal back in the day. Those of you that listened to the founders interview that I had with Jimmy Soni yesterday, definitely recommend that if not. But there were always these back and forths about who was going to be CEO, and that was a different person at different points in time, often held reluctantly by whomever was in that position, which is kind of how Elon has communicated his feelings about CEO positions in general since that time as well. So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. I think a lot of people have a lot of different opinions here. I'm definitely reminded of when PayPal brought in a former Intuit executive to be their CEO. That only lasted about 5 months. Kind of seemed like Elon ended up regretting that, so I would be a little bit surprised if it ends up being a more traditional hire, but at the same time, that could be the stability that Twitter needs in this moment. So I don't know. Hopefully we'll get some more insight on this soon. Personally, I think the vision that Elon has for Twitter is fantastic. I think the execution thus far has been, to borrow a word from yesterday, pretty chaotic, which I think internally is likely a positive. I think Twitter needed some of that. But I think externally, as this transition is continuing and evolving, a little bit more stability, at least in terms of the perception, would likely be beneficial. Now, of course, that's a heck of a lot easier said than done. As far as this relating to Tesla, I think people are excited by a possibility of Elon Musk having a little bit less focus on Twitter. I think that excitement might be a little bit premature or overstated. Elon has invested a lot into Twitter. This is an important thing for him. I don't think he's just going to just say, hey, I'm done, walk away, which from some of the reaction that I have seen seems to be people's expectation for some reason. I would view this more as Elon bringing in some help for Twitter than anything to do with reprioritizing Twitter in general, which I think some people took as the meaning. Now, I definitely could be wrong on that, but that's just my view of it. That said, if that is the case, and that help does actually help Elon and does provide some stability, I think that does help Tesla as well. I think ultimately, if Twitter can become a strong business, that's probably what ends up helping Tesla the most, regardless of whoever is CEO. So I think that captures most of my thoughts on this for now, but I'm sure this is a topic that we'll be revisiting. All right, jumping in here after recording, again, things still may change before I can actually post this, but Elon did reply to a comment that said that all policy polls should be done only counting votes from Twitter Blue subscribers, and Elon did say, good point, Twitter will make that change, so who knows, he may just wait and do that poll again once this change is implemented. I guess we'll see. All right, next we've got an update on a topic that we had talked about last week, and that was the possibility of Tesla working on a factory in Mexico. Today we've got a report from Reforma with some more details on this possibility. Again here, I would reiterate that I don't have any particular insight on the credibility of this publication, but this report has now been picked up by a lot of other media here in the United States, not that that necessarily adds a ton of credibility, but this is pretty heavily reported now at this point, so you know that at least there are a lot of people looking at this and doing more research. So Reforma is reporting that the American electric car manufacturer Tesla could announce in the coming days an investment in Nuevo León that would reach $10 billion in various stages. They say that a tentative date for announcing this could be as soon as next Friday, which I take to be December 30th, though they do also say it could slip into January. As for that $10 billion figure, that is a hefty amount. They do say that that would be initial phase and future expansions, though, And apparently the source indicated that the initial investment could be between $800 million and $1 billion, which would be more in line with the other investments that we've had for the early stages of previous gigafactories. The source explained that, quote, "It will consist in an investment in the initial phase for various components for models of electric vehicles already existing, and in future phases, it would be manufacturing a new model with a lower cost than the current ones," end quote. So initially, maybe components for Model 3, Model Y, Cybertruck Semi, maybe some of that includes batteries. Last week's report had mentioned something about assembling cargo trucks. That's not noted here, but maybe that means assembling semis. And then this report also noting the possibility of then in the future manufacturing a new, cheaper vehicle. That's exciting that we're starting to hear a little bit and a little bit more about that next-gen vehicle, because I think right now, where Tesla's earnings multiple has gone, there's just not a lot of faith or understanding in that future platform and where Tesla's growth comes from after a certain point. Once that stuff becomes more clear, the market is going to get more comfortable with Tesla's long-term growth expectations, which I've been talking about now for a while, are hard to model if the only answer is, oh, it's going to be a robotaxi, and the market's not going to model any robotaxis at this point in time. I think another factory announcement and alluding to that next generation vehicle, that'll help bring that mindset back in focus, but at the same time, we're very much in a risk-off environment. There are concerns about Tesla selling its own current production, so it'll probably take some time for sentiment to change, but when it does eventually change, then you've got these things in the works, and those things help support higher multiples. So I'm really excited about this possibility, even if it doesn't provide some big boost to the stock upon announcement, if the reporting is indeed accurate. But there definitely seems to be more smoke here. The article also mentions that a source said, quote, "I have about 10 Tesla suppliers who have come to look for site options to settle here," end quote. Again, pending the accuracy of that, that would seem to be a pretty strong signal that this would be happening. And then also over the weekend, there have been various signs popping up in different places that have been welcoming Tesla and welcoming Elon Musk to Nuevo León, which could obviously be just misguided citizens or maybe something more. I think at this point, if I had to put a bet on yes or no, this happening, I'd probably have to bet on yes. All right, next we've got an update on Giga Berlin. Just 3 days after posting the same update for Giga Texas, Tesla shared on Twitter, "Congrats to the Giga Berlin team on building 3,000 Model Y this week." So it's awesome to see both of these factories being ramped up simultaneously. I'm sure there's a little bit of competitive edge there between the two factories. Seems like Giga Texas may be gaining a little bit of ground there. I think most people thought Giga Berlin was probably a little bit ahead still, but both hitting this rate is exciting. That being said, of course, Tesla did want to try to hit 5,000 per week at both of these factories by the end of the year. Just hitting 3,000 now, 2 weeks before the end of the year, makes that look pretty unlikely. Those definitely were ambitious targets, but hopefully having those targets means that going from here, first hitting 3,000 per week, to there, hitting 5,000 per week, happens pretty quickly. Now, Giga Shanghai is its own beast, but it did go from first hitting 3,000 per week in Q2 2020 to more than 5,000 per week on average Q4 2020. I definitely think Tesla wants to exceed that speed for these two. For what it's worth and some additional context on the ramp, Tesla had tweeted back on October 1st, that they had just completed 2,000 Model Ys in a week at Giga Berlin. Also on Giga Berlin, throw this firmly in the rumor mill category, but we do have an update from somebody on Twitter who says that they spoke with a Tesla worker from Grünheide on Friday, who said, among other things, that Tesla is currently building a new factory line for the Model S, and that in the future, the Model S will also be produced at Giga Berlin, and that the Model 3 is also planned. So maybe something to keep an eye out. I don't put too much weight on that right now. If anything, maybe Tesla would do some assembly there. I think it would be pretty surprising to see them do a dedicated Model S line at Giga Berlin. Maybe there would be a line that's more flexible that also builds Model S, I don't know. But definitely possible that this is inaccurate or maybe missing some context somewhere along the way. For what it's worth, he also said that hardly anyone there talks about Elon and that people have other stuff going on. Next, a couple of quick updates on China, which by the way, we should get updated weekly insurance numbers for overnight. But for now, we've got a couple of new incentives. First is a government incentive. They are adding a 12,000 RMB temporary consumption subsidy in Shenzhen, China. So that's about $1,700, and that runs from December 18th through the end of January. So that's a nice little boost. And again, that is a government incentive, not one provided by Tesla, but we do also have one from Tesla in Shanghai, which I'm pretty confident we have not yet discussed. This is a 3,000 RMB discount, so pretty small, only about $430. And apparently is only running from December 16th through the 26th and is limited to 3,500 purchasers. As far as production goes, I haven't seen any new reports there. Next, we've got a couple of analyst updates on Tesla. The first is from Colin Rush of Oppenheimer. Pretty notable, he has been historically pretty bullish on Tesla. Most recently had a $435 price target on the stock and an outperform rating. He has now removed his price target, so no price target at all, and has downgraded Tesla from outperform to perform. Those on video can see the summary there, but largely the point here is that they say, we believe Mr. Musk's acquisition and subsequent management of Twitter now make the separation of Twitter and Tesla untenable. They say that this is pushing them to the sidelines on Tesla. There are a number of key points that they list that we'll have on screen here, but they say that the core problem is the potential for a negative feedback loop from the departure of advertisers and then users as well, which at least on the user side doesn't seem to be the case so far, but they're highlighting that as a risk, which they say could increase financing needs for Twitter, which could put Tesla then at risk for additional selling. They say what has changed for us, and then seem to point to the temporary suspension of journalists as kind of the final straw in this endeavor. They note that their views on Tesla's technology position have not changed, and they continue to believe Tesla is leveraging unparalleled expertise in EV-related materials and AI coupled with a multi-year data advantage, and they note that they are not changing anything with their estimates. Finally, quote, what should investors do? We expect Tesla to present myriad trading opportunities long and short. We believe sentiment is severely damaged and that any positive fundamental news near term will likely lead to select short covering followed by subsequent reshorting. We continue to anticipate Tesla's technology position being both tested and validated during 2023, which could be outweighed by negative publicity leading to additional volatility, end quote. So Oppenheimer on the sidelines for now. Deutsche Bank has issued a new note. They have maintained their buy rating and $355 price target on Tesla. They recently had an auto tech conference, and following the conference, they say that Tesla would not comment on current demand conditions or its pricing strategy, but indicated its best place to face any softness in macro conditions based on its best cost structure, superior margins, and often demonstrated operational nimbleness and flexibility. I think that's a good reminder of a lot of things that are not being given a lot of attention right now. Deutsche Bank also wrote, as we have heard before, that Tesla does expect the Inflation Reduction Act to constitute a meaningful tailwind for the company, and they say the company believes most of its U.S. vehicles should qualify for the full $7,500 consumer tax credit, and Tesla will also receive large incentives from its battery manufacturing in the U.S. They note the $45 per kilowatt hour for cells and packs made in-house, and Deutsche Bank says, and we think a piece of it could be shared with Panasonic for the batteries made by the collaboration in Nevada, which many of you may be aware that the paperwork indicates that Tesla would have a claim to that, but as with any business partner, that could be subject to negotiation. Finally, Deutsche Bank notes that, quote, Tesla is particularly focused on its quote-unquote game-changing next-generation platform, which, in our view, would support multiple other vehicles and segments, as well as robo-taxis, and targeting 20,000 costs of goods sold per vehicle, development is advanced, and targeted startup production is 2024, end quote. So I think, again, that next generation starting to come a little bit more into the fold. All right, moving on from analysts, we've got a couple of updates from TeslaScope. They say today that the software update 2022.44.25.5, FSD beta, is now going out to employee vehicles. They say they've got conflicting information on whether or not this is version 11, so we'll have to wait and see on that. If so, maybe a good chance that we end up seeing some release notes pop up sometime soon, so we'll keep an eye on that. And then they also say that they've heard from a few sources that Tesla's been testing FSD beta in the UK, which is particularly noteworthy because that is a right-hand drive country. Now, TeslaScope also says that the sentiment of it just works became more prevalent throughout this year among the testers, and based on what they're hearing, they think it's probably pretty likely that Tesla can expand FSD beta to more countries next year. So we'll see on that, take it for what it's worth, but hopefully a little bit encouraging. And last few things here, we've got an update from Tesla on solar. They say they've now completed 500,000 solar panel and solar roof installations, equivalent to about 4 gigawatts of clean power. Next, we've got a bit of an update here on the Inflation Reduction Act and the timing for more clarification on some of the components of the EV credit. The U.S. Treasury Department announcing today that they will issue a notice of proposed rulemaking in March with proposed guidance on the critical minerals and battery components requirements in the IRA. Those were obviously due by the end of the year, so it looks like they're not going to hit that deadline, but they do say before year's end, the Treasury will also release information on the anticipated direction of the critical mineral and battery component requirements, which will help manufacturers prepare. So what happens between January 1st and whenever this comes out in March? I don't really know. I'm not sure anyone fully knows. All they say on that is that by statute, the critical mineral and battery component requirements take effect only after the Treasury issues that proposed rule. So some people interpreting this as every EV gets the full credit in that interim period, some people interpreting this as no vehicles would be eligible during that interim period. Again, I don't know. Obviously, that's a pretty critical distinction, so I'm going to try to figure that out, but it may not be something we can even figure out at this point in time. It might depend on whatever that additional directional guidance that they're going to give before the end of the year ends up being. So again, I'll try to figure this out, but not hitting this deadline is pretty frustrating. Speaking of frustrating, we've got a report from the Wall Street Journal on Toyota, new comments from their president saying that he is among the auto industry's silent majority in questioning whether electric vehicles should be pursued exclusively, saying, quote, "People involved in the auto industry are largely a silent majority. That silent majority is wondering whether EVs are really okay to have as a single option, but they think it's the trend, so they can't speak out loudly," end quote. Ugh, so brave. So very brave of you, Toyota, to speak out. I think what Toyota is doing is the exact opposite of bravery. They're trying everything that they can to hold on to the past and actively manipulate whomever they can to allow that to happen for longer. Finally, to end on some more uplifting news, we do have an update from SpaceX today. They have announced that they have surpassed 1 million subscribers for Starlink. It's an awesome milestone, so congratulations to SpaceX on that accomplishment. I did go back and look at media reports of certain subscriber numbers at certain points in time, and charting that out, we're seeing some really nice growth, definitely looking like the bottom of an S-curve. Alright, that is it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, December 20th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.